1.7 million American adults attempted suicide in 2021, according to federal statistics. And the CDC says it continues to be a national public health crisis. As we enter National Suicide Prevention Month, we talk about what can be done to help stem that tide. And we also look at a newer type of treatment for depression called transcranial magnetic stimulation, which is said to have had positive effects on patients whose depression has proved resistant to medication and other therapies. It's non-invasive, approved by the FDA, and we'll talk about it. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. We're talking about an uncomfortable subject this week, suicide and suicide prevention. Nobody really wants to think about it, but things don't get better unless you address them head on. 1 year ago, a new suicide hotline, a national number, was launched. It's 988. And that was to face this crisis head on. While there are a dozen agencies in California handling calls, D.D. Hirsch Mental Health Services leads efforts in Southern California. Let's welcome the Vice President of Crisis Care for D.D. Hirsch, Sherry Sinwelski, and Carla Zanteno, who is a bilingual Spanish program coordinator. And thanks for being here with us, both of you.
Thank you for having us, Hal. It's a pleasure.
Of course, of course. Let's start with you, Sherry. You're both counselors. Let's talk a little bit about mental health services in 2023. How up-to-date are they? How state-of-the-art are they? And how's this new crisis hotline working?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked that question. You know, the hotline began July of last year, so we just celebrated our one-year anniversary. And we're really proud of the progress that we've made in California, in Southern California and across the entire state. We've seen almost a 30% increase in people reaching out to the service. And we know that when people reach out, they always have a counselor that's available 24/7. To talk about what you said at the beginning of this conversation, Hal, which is that for some people, talking about suicide can be uncomfortable. And I'm hoping that, you know, the more we're able to have segments like this to let people know it's okay to talk about how they're feeling, that stigma will be erased.
But semantics are everything, right? So how we say somebody died by suicide as opposed to somebody committed suicide, what is the proper sort of the etiquette for talking about these sort of things when people want to be respectful and they want to speak in terms are today's terms?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked that. You know, you said it exactly right. If somebody is having thoughts of suicide, we want to talk about it in plain language directly. If somebody dies by suicide, that's exactly what we say, that they died by suicide. Language like commit can have a negative connotation. And we don't want to create any sense of stigma or shame when a person is reaching out for help.
That's the same for the old phrase, took their own life?
Yeah, well, took their own life. You can say took your own life. There's not as much of a negative stigma associated with that. But we usually say die by suicide.
Yeah. Now, it's not just phone calls into the national hotline. It's also text messages. And there's even Spanish translations, right? So let's talk about that for a second. And why don't you fill us in on that?
We do now have 24/7 Spanish available for all of our callers. And we also have a 24/7 chat and text in Spanish as well for everyone that wants to reach out either by calling or by chatting or texting.
Now we're looking at the headquarters there for D.D. Hirsch. And I've been in that room right there. And so that's where these calls come in, and that's where you're able to receive texts and also to speak to people verbally, right?
Yes, correct.
And what are the things that have changed since 988 as a hotline started?
We have seen an increase in number of calls. So people are reaching out now more often. Now it's easier to remember a three-digit number than calling the 888 numbers. So a lot of people are now reaching out more, which for us, it's a great thing that people now can easily remember a three-digit number.
You know, I'm curious, and let's ask Sherry about this. I'm curious, You know, we talk about a mental health crisis in this country. Let's just ask, is there a mental health crisis in this country?
We certainly are seeing a lot of people who are struggling. You know, after the pandemic, we've had a lot of people who are challenged with mental health concerns. We're seeing the number of people who are dying by suicide increase, unfortunately. I'm not sure the definition of a crisis, but it's certainly very concerning. And I think that at the same time, I'm also seeing and hearing more support than ever. I'm hearing a lot of people reaching out for help. And so I think that, you know, while we're seeing a lot of people that are struggling, one of the trends that I've seen, I've been working in this field for over 30 years, and I think one of the trends that I've seen is that there are more services available and there are more people who are feeling comfortable talking about how they're feeling. And so in my mind, that's a good thing. I think we need to continue to boost those resources so that every single person has access to the services that they need whenever they need them.
Okay. Don't go away, Sherry and Carla. We'll talk more to you in the next segment. We'll be back with more on D.D. Hirsch Mental Health Centers and the suicide crisis right after the break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth, and welcome back Sherry Stanelski and also Carla Zenteno. And I wanted to ask you a couple of things in this segment. One is, you know, how can you tell if someone is in a crisis? And if someone is in a crisis, well, what should we do?
Yeah, that's a great question, Hal. Thanks for asking. You know, different people present differently when they're in crisis, but I think one thing to look out for is something different or a change for a person or an individual. But some of the common things that people might exhibit when they're having thoughts of suicide or are feeling, you know, like suicide is something that's an option for them, they might start talking about feeling like they have no reason to live, that they feel like a burden, they're feeling trapped, they might withdraw from people that are close to them in their lives. I think it's really important that people who are around them are noticing, you know, when they're noticing that something might be different or wrong, or they've got that gut feeling that something's upsetting the person, it's okay to ask them, you know, I noticed that you've been really down. I've noticed that you aren't acting like yourself. You said that you can't take it anymore. And to ask them directly, are you thinking about suicide? It can be scary to ask that question, but what we know is that giving people a safe place to say, yes, I am, and to talk about how they're feeling is the best next step to helping them to feel better.
You know, Carla, I have right here in my hand something called Five Tips to Support Someone in Crisis, which is sort of additional to what you're talking about. And just sort of elaborate on this for a second. One of the tips, find a private and safe space for the conversation you're going to have with somebody. Tell them you are concerned and you want to help. Ask directly if they're thinking about suicide, have made any plans. Ask questions, listen with empathy and without judgment, and offer to help connect them to resources and encourage them to call 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Why don't you pick up on that, Carla?
Yes, it's very important to provide a space, a safe space, like we mentioned, where we're not going to get interrupted. So we want to let that person talk about what's going on, how they're feeling, and then give them that space that it's okay to talk about suicide if that's what they're thinking about. We want to open the door for them to share their emotions and to tell us what's going on, what they're feeling. And then we also, once they start opening up, we want to let them know it's okay to talk about suicide. It's okay to talk about if that's something that's coming to their mind. And then come up with a safety plan. Let's talk about what we can do today in order to help them stay safe. And then if possible, you know, connect them to resources. We are one of the resources. They can always give us a call, either if you're concerned about a loved one or even if you are the person in crisis. We're always here to help and support someone.
You know, when you're talking to men tend to be a little more, I'm okay. They don't necessarily, and I'm not saying this about all men, But sometimes men tend to be a little tougher. I'm okay. I'm not. But they hide their feelings. How do you deal with that, Sherry?
I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why our hotline is such a great resource to people, because it's anonymous. They don't have to set up an appointment. It's not as hard to reach out and say that they're in pain. They're talking to somebody that they don't know on the other end of a hotline or on the other end of a chat or a text. You know, men often feel like it's hard to talk about their feelings. Women also can feel that way, or they can feel stigmatized or weak by what they're going through. And so I think a hotline like 988 is a great resource, because a person, they don't have to make an appointment. They can just call, text, or chat whenever they want 24/7. And they don't have to worry about what the person on the other line is thinking, because they don't know them.
Yeah. You know, it's so important to remember these three numbers, right? 988. 988. In crisis, what do you call? 988. And what about text? And what about chat? Same number? How do you do it?
Yeah, so same you number. Can text.
So go 988 ahead. To text, 988 to chat. Okay, very good. Thank you both very much for being with us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we look at a novel treatment for depression. It's not a pill. It's not counseling, but instead it involves magnets. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. And when we're talking about suicide, it's hard to overlook the connection between suicide and depression. And for people suffering from intractable depression, there has been a lack of alternatives. But one treatment you may not have heard of is proving quite successful. Joining us now, Dr. Todd Hutton, who's a board-certified psychiatrist and a fellow of the American Psychiatric Association. Good to see you, doctor. Thanks so much for joining us. And tell us about this therapy. Sounds unusual.
Yes. So what we're talking about is TMS. What you've seen on the graphics there is what NeuroStar Advanced Therapy, but it's a form of TMS, which is transcranial magnetic stimulation. What we're doing is using magnetic pulses on the order of the strength of an MRI and stimulating parts of the brain that are known to be underactive in depression. And what this does is exercises parts of the brain and gets it back to functioning in a normal state.
So you wear a little helmet? Is that what it is?
It can be like a helmet. Sometimes it's just a magnet that sits on the head right about here. It's been known for a long time that there's areas of the brain that are underactive in depression. By stimulating those areas, we're getting the brain back to a normal functioning level.
How long has this been going on, this treatment?
So I call it a new treatment, but it was FDA approved almost 15 years ago.
Oh, really?
And so it's a lot of people still don't know about it yet. And that's part of the thing that's been the issue with it. A lot of people are unaware, like even... You look at people with depression, like 83% of people with depression don't know that this exists as an option.
Well, fair to say that they're depressed and they're not thinking about what can I do to help myself?
Yeah, but I would say most people don't know about this just because it hasn't been...
Exposed enough?
Exposed enough, yes.
Yeah. And so with regard to this treatment, are people afraid of this or comfortable with
this? I think, once they get to doing it... As a treatment, they actually prefer it compared to medication. So I use a lot of antidepressant medications. It's a mainstay of treatment. But we find that only about a third of patients on antidepressants have the full cure from depression.
Well, what does it feel like?
You feel this tapping on your head. I would describe it
like a bump.
Like a kind of like a woodpecker on your head, people will describe it.
Okay.
In the beginning, it's a bit annoying, but I wouldn't call it painful.
Yeah, I would think so.
People come for sessions. For a typical session is 20 minutes. We do it 5 days a week over about a two-month period. But it's people watch TV, they listen to music.
There are a couple of questions that come to mind. First of all, side effects are what?
Side effects are pretty minimal. People get headache. You feel that tapping on your head, which can be pretty annoying, but gets better and better. Really, really tiny small chance of having a seizure during a treatment.
But how is that versus medications?
Much fewer side effects than medications, and not the enduring side effects. And that's been part of the problem with medications, is a lot of people don't continue their medications because of side effects.
What about insurance? Insurance cover these things?
Insurance covers
That's always the magic question, right?
Yes. It's probably covered by your insurance. Most commercial insurance is covering
TMS. Because one of the things that I know is that mental health coverage is not always that great.
Yes, yes.
And I don't want to get into commentary here, but do you find that to be the case? And how do you feel about that?
It's been very frustrating that mental health coverage doesn't get the same kind of credibility that physical health coverage does. There's been some parity laws which have helped, but it's still a battle to get people into treatment and get them the treatment that we think they need.
I want to ask you about alternative treatments, mm-hmm. things like ketamine, things like psilocybin, things that are out there that may be promising.
So ketamine is being used as a depression treatment, and there's a prescription version of ketamine called Spravato, which, in fact, we do in our office at SoCal TMS, and that also works well for some people. Psilocybin is a treatment that is, I think, in the future. It looks very promising to me, but we still don't know yet how best to dose it. It's hard to obtain.
Psilocybin being mushrooms.
Being mushrooms.
Right.
I think it's very promising. I'm not recommending it for patients at the present because, again, we're still in the research phase.
Right. All right. Well, yeah, everything is in the research stage, isn't it? Because the more we understand, the better we can deal with things. And I'm guessing, final question, that we deal with things better today than we might have 10 years ago.
Yes, and it's important, you bring up again, we have alternatives now, and it's important that people understand and know that there's other options for treatment available.
And the crisis hotline is?
988.
You got it, very good. Don't go away, doctor. We'll have you join us for the next segment, along with one of your patients you've treated. We'll be right back with more Fox 11 News in depth. You know, some of these alternatives. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth, and welcome back, Dr. Hutton. And joining us now, one of your patients, Damon Devine, who's battled depression for almost 40 years. Tragically, a number of your family members took their own lives, and I'm sort of wondering if you could talk about that a little bit and how you feel that might have affected you.
Well, it was every single male on my dad's side, if you can imagine that. My dad, my uncle, my great uncle, my grandfather and great grandfather, all on one side. I wasn't totally close to them. The family wasn't so close. And that was probably part of the problem because they never felt they had any backup.
So and you decided to try this therapy?
I did, yes. As a last resort, it was very bad for me in 2018. And as a last resort, I thought I'll do this one last thing because I can't continue living this way. So I tried it. I tried it.
You were on the edge of the cliff.
Yes, 2018 was horrible. It had been many times before throughout all those years. But 2018, I didn't want to go another year feeling like that. It was pointless to me.
So how did it work for you?
Well, as soon as I heard that it was 5 days a week for 7 weeks, I was going to back out. Yeah. Because just taking a shower and leaving in the sun and going out into the sunlight and being around people takes a lot out of you when you're terribly depressed. But I forced myself and I went. And about the 10th treatment, which would be about 2 weeks, it worked. And I was stunned by it because it was quite sudden, actually.
Okay, so it worked, but what does that mean exactly?
It meant that the depression was gone.
Really?
I mean, it didn't just alleviate it a little bit, it was gone. I hardly knew the person that I was, and this happened like that one day, so it was just bizarre to be who I always knew I could be quite suddenly.
All right, doctor, this is not a surprising response from him because you're his doctor. It is a little bit of a surprising response for me, but
yeah.
You know, is this what you would normally hear in a response? And I guess the other question I have is, you know, how do people get this treatment?
Well, response. First of all, I would say most of the people who get this treatment will see improvement from it, and we get a lot of dramatic improvement, more than we get with medications. His where he can say it happened on day 10 is unusual. Usually patients, it fits, comes in more gradually over the course of weeks throughout the treatment. But they get the treatment. It's covered by most people's commercial insurance. Damon was referred by his psychiatrist for this treatment. So it's available, just people don't know about it.
You know, Damon, I'm fascinated by this. And I guess, you know, I could ask you a gazillion questions and I wouldn't even know exactly where to start. But what is the thing you want to tell people more than anything else about this treatment?
Well, when people are depressed for a very long time, they tend to give up thinking nothing works because a lot of times nothing does. And we get quite negative after years of depression. So we think nothing's going to work. This is nonsense. I think that it's a good idea to force yourself as best you can to take a chance with it. That's what I did.
Yeah, but does this last? Is it permanent or is it something he has to repeat from time to time?
So we can get durable effects, but depression does come back. With Damon, we've done what we call maintenance treatments, where periodically he'll do a single treatment to keep him going. But it's
like been, a booster?
Like a booster. But it's been 5 years since we first started treatment with him.
What would you say about Damon that he hasn't talked about?
When you get depressed, you really do feel hopeless. And suicide can feel at that time like it is the best option. And people, when they're suicidal, can feel like, oh, my family might be sad, but I'm doing them a favor. And then everything just seems gray. And one of the things that Damon actually talked about was suddenly he saw color. That he didn't appreciate before.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Todd Hutton and Damon Devine. And what an impactful story. You know, wishing you all the best going forward, Damon. And also, if you'd like to hear an audio version of this show, check out my podcast. It's called What the How? And it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehowpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.